The gospel lesson for the Sunday of Transfiguration is for this year from Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verses 28 through 36. The Sunday of Transfiguration Gospel from Luke 9:28 and following. Egereto de meta tus logus tutos Jose Hemerai octo, kai paralabon, petron, kai Ioannin, kai Jacobon anabe, eis to horos prosukastai. Egereto is the standard Lucan introduction of a new construction, a fresh construction. It came to pass, as we know, it so happened, part of the narrative style. Luke goes on as a historian, keeping the continuity of the events that had been taking place and narrated prior to verse 28. Egereto de, on the other hand, meta tus logus, plural, accusative with the meta, tutos. After these words, shall we translate this as after these sayings? It came to pass after these words. Hosai adverbially used approximately hemerai octo, 8 days after. Kai paralabon, taking present participle, taking along Peter and John and also James. Anabe anabaino, he went up, Jesus went up. Esto horos, onto the mountain, perhaps a hill country, prosuksastai, that's an aorist infinitive, for the purpose of praying. Jesus' commitment to prayer particularly is significant in this Lucan narrative. Jesus goes on into prayer before he makes those significant giant steps in his ministry, before calling the disciples, before he faces the cross. In the Garden of Gethsemane, we see Jesus praying. And this is what's happening here too. Luke's Gospel is, in that sense, a prayer book, and that goes well with this narrative as well. Jesus went up to the mountain to pray. The significance of the infinitive is to be noted there. Ka egeneto ento prosukastai, prosukastai. That is now a present infinitive. In the act of praying, infinitive followed by the accusative, the subject of the sentence, the phrase there. So while Jesus was praying, ta eidos tu prosopu autu. Eidos is the word for his appearance, the appearance of the face of him, heteron, became different. Kai ha hematismos autu lukos exas. And the garment of him also became exastrapton. Dazzling white is the translation. Exastrapto is the root word. It's the masculine present active participle. And because hematias is masculine, hematismos is masculine, that matches well with the subject. So his clothes, his garment became dazzling white. Some translations might even have it as dazzling as lightning. That's the appearance of Jesus. Ento prosukasai auto eidos tu prosopo. His face became different, heteron. Kai ha his hematismos auto, his garment became dazzling white. Verse 30. Kai idu andres duo, and behold, men tu sun ela luon. Lalevo sun lalevo to speak with. There were two men were speaking with him out of oitness, those being who were Moses kai Elias. These two men who were speaking with Jesus were identified now as Moses and Elijah. Verse 31. The sulalun, sunelalun is a significant word there. There is obviously a conversation going on between Moses and Elijah, and in this case Jesus also. These two men would symbolize the Old Testament, Moses for the law and Elijah for the prophets. That's acknowledged, and we can also add in this case gospel in the person of Jesus Christ, the Christ, the fulfiller of the Old Testament promises, Moses and Elijah. One of those unusual situations where we have the three men put together in this appearance, that is definitely a heavenly appearance. Moses, we know from the reading from Exodus, he died and nobody knows where he was buried, although the text says God buried him. That's the last we know now of Moses. And now Moses appears with Jesus and Elijah. Elijah is a major prophet, the one who went up to heaven. And Elijah also is a type for John the Baptist. We also know this. Verse 31. Hoi aphontes en doxe elegan ten exodon autu. Verse 31 here. They were speaking, appearing. The ones appearing, hoi aphthontes, the one, aphthontes is from horava opsomai. This is an aorist passive participle, having appeared, the ones having appeared, meaning Moses and Elijah having appeared in glory, in doxe, elegon, they were speaking, they actually spoke, ten exoden autu. Autu is singular, masculine singular genitive, and that goes along with ten doxen, ten exoden, the exodus of him. So these two men were speaking of the exodus of this one single individual, and that references to Jesus Christ as he is present there. The word exodus, exodon, is the way out and reminds us of the Old Testament exodus. It is theologically loaded. Scholars would like to take this as a typology for the exodus. In this case, Jesus is the new Israel or the true Israel, and keeping him in line with the history of Israel. Now this is the time of for his, the new Israel's, Jesus Christ, exodus. Then symbolically the meaning will be his death. And the word goes on, en emelen plerun en Jerusalem. The exodus, which was about Emelin, about to fulfill at Jerusalem. So there is that context again of Jesus' journey to Jerusalem. In the Gospels, we read when Jesus focuses his journey onto Jerusalem, it also means his suffering, crucifixion, death, and resurrection. So Exodus then makes sense in this context if that refers to the person of Jesus Christ, his exodus from this world culminating in the cross to happen in Jerusalem would be an ideal way of looking at this text. This was about to happen. Case in point is to remember the story that precedes this narrative of the transfiguration. A few verses earlier, in verse 23, and following, he has already predicted his passion, that the Son of Man must go to Jerusalem and be handed over to the priests and the scribes and so on, and they will put him to death. This is not unforeseen. This is already familiar to the Lord, who would then bear the cross and pay the penalty for our sin. So the stage is set, and immediately after that comes this transfiguration experience, which is actually a witness to the three disciples who were around him. Verse 32. Ha de Petros kai hoisun auto esan bebare menoi. And Peter and those who were with him, bebare menoi is, it means weighted down. That's the perfect passive participle. They were weighted down, hypno, by or with sleep. The question arises, did they really fall asleep, or were they half asleep? And they have been with the Lord, and with the long hours that they had put in, it is possible that they did fall asleep. They were weighted down with sleep. They were weighted down with sleep. Dia grego resantes. Dia grego resantes is coming from the word agairo, to rise. In the perfect is the perfect of agairo is egregora. And dia grego resantes, that's the participle, aorist ingressive participle, meaning that they woke up and they continue to remain in the wake up stage. So from hypno, having been awakened from the sleep, dia grego resantes de eidon, they saw rauopsoma eidon, ten doxon autu, kai tu duo andras, they saw his glory and the glory of the two men. Tus, the genitive construction goes on, sunes tota, sunistemi is the word, who were standing with auto, with him. So they saw the glory of the two people plus the glory of Jesus having woken up. Verse 33, kai egeneto ento dia kori zestai. Verse 33, dia kori zestai is the infinitive participle form of gorizo. Dia gorizomai, to separate. So it so happened while the ento kori zestai with the infinitive, with the accusative following, autos in their departure, in their separation from, as they were departing will be a polished translation. These two men, Moses and Elijah, as they were departing from him, said ha patros pros ton ezun. Peter said to Jesus, epistata kalon estin hemas hode enai. It is good for us to be here. Note the word epistata here. Standard translation of that is master, particularly a Lucan expression when it comes to the disciples addressing Jesus. He is usually addressed curios, but Luke repeatedly uses it 6 or 7 times, the word epistatus, master. Coming from my background, I would translate this as guru, someone who is a teacher, a wise man, among around whom the disciples would like to gather. I believe this could be taken as a very endearing term. And Peter proposes, Lord, that teacher, master, it is good that we are here. Kai poesomen skenas tres, mian soi, kai mian mose, kai mian helia, me eidos ha legai. And Peter proposes, let us make skenas tres, tents three. Let us make three tents. One for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not Eidos, not knowing what he was saying. First of all, the tent. The people of Israel experienced God's presence with them in the tent. The presence of God was with them in the tabernacle that obviously is shaded in this meaning. Three tents, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for Jesus. Peter proposes these three, a sign of welcoming the visitors amidst them. Perhaps Peter and companions did not want this presence to leave them so quickly. They are up on top of the mountain, and the two visitors have come, and hospitality required that the once visited care for the ones who are visiting. But uniquely in Luke, we see made a eidos hologai, not knowing nor recognizing what he was saying. Could it mean that, going back to Dia Gregore Santos early on, Peter just woke up and he was not sure what he was saying by way of responding to this unusual presence of these heavenly beings? Could it also be an editorial note coming from Luke himself, saying, in fact, Peter did not really understand what was going on? But one thing is clear, that the presence of the two men of the Old Testament was there, and Peter was indeed enthused about that unique presence with the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 34, tota de autu legontes. These things, while saying, it came to pass, egeneto nephale kai epeskiazen autus. While he was saying this, this is the a genitive absolute use of here, autu legontes. Genitive absolute links all the genitives together, usually with the participle, and the subject of the sentence is autu here. So while Peter was saying these things, it came to pass a cloud, nephale, kai epeskiazen. Epeskiazen is an imperfect of skiazo. This means a cloud cast a shadow or enveloped, went on enveloping them. Verse 34. Yeah. Cloud went on enveloping them, kai epeskiazen autos. Ephobe tesan de ento eselten autos. They feared. Ephobe tesan, that is an aorist and a diponent. From phobeomai. And they were scared, they were afraid. Ento eselten, ento again with the infinitive and the accusative, as they were entering the cloud, they were afraid. Eisten nephilen. It is a scary moment. Cloud, we know from the Old Testament, is symbolic of the presence of God. This is heaven and earth coming together with Jesus, of course, in the middle, and the Old Testament represented by Moses and Elijah. this indeed the presence of God. Kai phone egeneto ek tes nephales legusa, and a voice, it came to pass out of the clouds, legusa, that said, a voice that came out of heaven, out of the clouds, that said, Hutos esten hios mu ha ek leg menas. This is my son. This is my son. The voice speaks from heaven. We know that this is the voice of God. Ha ek leleg menos ek kaleo ek legawai. This is a perfect participle. The one I have chosen, my chosen one, him akuete, you listen to him, you heed his voice. So God's choice of his son, God's election of his son, having been sent to the earth, and disciples now are called upon to heed to his voice. The akuete is the imperative here of akuo. You listen, you listen, you heed to him. And if you go to the variant reading, the word for beloved is used there. Standard expression here, Jesus' attestation of the beloved Son of God declared by God the Father himself. Verse 36, Kai ento genestai ten phonen, Kai ento genestai ten phonen. Genesta is the earnest infinitive of ginomai. When the voice had come, ten phonen urete, when they had heard the voice, we will translate that way, urete would be the aorist passive. When they had heard the voice, they saw Jesus only. So that now Moses and Elijah had disappeared and Jesus remains. Kai auto eis Esigesan. Siago is the word for silent. And these people, the ones remaining here, they were silent. Kai. Siago is again a word that is used only by Luke in this context, very unique. They remained silent. Kai udani apengelen. They announced to no one entais. In ekainais tais hemorrhais. In those days, udan. Hon Hewra Khan, what they had seen, they did not announce to anyone in those days. If you note the other Gospels that have the similar same narrative, we know that at the end of this transfiguration experience, Jesus tells the disciples not to tell anyone. However, in this case, the narrator says that the disciples, those who saw the event, the onlookers themselves, remain silent. They said this to no one in those days. Perhaps the remainder of Jesus, through the remainder of Jesus' earthly ministry, they did not announce this to anyone. Interesting observations here to make, this being the Transfiguration Sunday and prelude to the Lenten season that is soon to begin. Jesus' glory is manifested in this heavenly experience Moses and Elijah represented. As we read from the Old Testament lesson, Moses dies and God buries him, and we know that in the context of the passion predictions, Jesus would go to Jerusalem and be crucified and he would die, call him new Moses, but he rises again on the third day. The transfiguration is a glory moment. The cross is the glory, manifest the doxa of Christ. And the resurrection seals the accomplishment of Jesus Christ on the cross as he rises victorious over sin, death, and the devil. A transformation takes place on the basis of this. The disciples are witness to disciples, meaning James, Peter, and John are witness to this heavenly moment. But note again in the text that Moses and Elijah leave the scene. When Peter gets ready to put up these three tents, having woken up, they disappear. But Jesus remains. Jesus is the incarnate Son of God. He is the beloved Son of God. And he was sent here on earth for a job to do. And that job he will accomplish perfect by bearing the cross for us in our place and purchasing for us forgiveness by his death and resurrection. And he will not complete his mission without going to the cross. So the others disappear, but the incarnate Son of God continues to remain on the earth to complete his mission, to perfect his job of saving people, and then rise and then go to heaven. Interesting text for us to match the message of this text to the Lenten season. The glory of Jesus Christ revealed on the mountain, but better yet revealed on the cross of Jesus Christ. We know that the Gospels are passion stories with extended introductions, and here in Luke's Gospel, a climax is brought to the cross, the climax of Jesus Christ. He was not caught off guard to go to the cross because he himself predicts that. Especially significant to note that this prediction takes place prior to this transfiguration experience. For Christians, the cross of Jesus Christ is the focus. Cross is the sign of victory. Cross is the sign of the defeat of sin and death, and the door to a new life, a life that takes us from here to eternity, a life that enables us to live here with God and continue the journey to his presence eternally as we see him face to face there. Thank you.